and not for the first time. Such an attack is too shocking to be so familiar, Biden said in a statement released on Sunday, May 7th, adding, and yet, American communities have suffered roughly 200 mass shootings already this year. According to leading counts, more than 14,000 of our fellow citizens have lost their lives, credible estimates show. The leading cause of death for American kids is gun violence. Vice President Kamala Harris intoned in equally somber tone, saying, all Americans deserve to be safe from gun violence. She also urged Congress to act. She said in a statement, Doc and I mourn for the 8 adults and children who lost their lives, pray for those wounded, and send our gratitude to the first responders who ran toward danger. All Americans deserve to be safe from gun violence, but they are not, Harris continued. Not because we do not know the solutions. Not because the American people are divided on this issue. Even a majority of gun owners support sensible reforms. Harris added, we need action. Despite such pleas, why is there no let-up in gun violence in the United States of America? In 2021, there were 48,830 deaths from gun-related injuries, according to the latest data from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC. That's nearly an 8% increase from 2020, which was a record-breaking year for firearm deaths. In Mexico, by comparison, there were 22,116 gun-related deaths in the year 2019. Data shows more than 50 people are killed each day by a firearm in the U.S., according to the CDC. That's a significantly larger portion of homicides than in the case in neighboring Canada at 37%. Why is gun-related violence so prevalent in the United States? Some people say that it is the number of guns in private hands in the U.S., estimated at 390 million in 2018, according to the Swiss-based research project, the Small Arms Survey. The U.S. ratio of 120.5 firearms per 100 residents, up from 88 per 100 in 2011, far surpasses that of other countries around the world. So one must look elsewhere to seek answers to the very high rate of gun-related killings in the U.S. Violence is glorified in American culture. It is projected on television as well as in video games. When Americans murder millions of innocent people abroad in the endless wars of aggression, it is applauded at home. In the U.S., the police shoot first and ask questions later, if at all. It is said that violence is as American as apple pie. When the culture of violence is glorified in America, it is not surprising that people would resort to it at the first opportunity. School mass shootings have escalated. Nowhere else in the world are children murdered in such high numbers as in the U.S. Welcome to the land of the freaks.
This is A to Z. An introduction to an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, how to bear difficulties of life. In the name of God, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful, may His peace and blessings be upon Muhammad and His pure Immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Salamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to A to Z on Islamic Lifestyle, IRB English Radio, Call of Islam page. I'm Farhad, your host, and I'm very honored to have you with me for this program. We are going to start our program today with a question. And that is, please advise me how to bear the difficulties of life. I feel like I am about to perish. Very important question. To answer this question, I should say, imagining oneself as about to perish is in itself the beginning of perishment. So first, keep this thought away from your mind and then ask yourself, if you will not bear the difficulties, then what would you do? Do you have a better alternative? So ponder on this question and be certain that life is difficult for all people, but the difficulties differ from one person to another. And now we are going to study together some advice and principles we can gain them through Quran and Hadiths. First, you should know that the worldly life has been full of difficulties since our father Adam, alayhi salam, and will be on to the last one of his children. The wise creator has determined life to be difficult for man, so that he may think of the afterlife and that he has been created for. Without being tired, man will not be given the eternal blessings of afterlife. Secondly, to bear the difficulties of life, you need to read the biographies of the patient and great people and see how they passed the difficulties of life to live in the bliss of paradise, and their names were not forgotten throughout the ages. Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to A to Z on Islamic Lifestyle, IRB English Radio, Call of Islam page. And we were talking about the ways of tolerating and bearing the difficulties of life. And we studied together two of them. But let's go through the other principles we can gain them through Quran and Hadiths. Number three, it is that you should make friends with those possessing a great deal of patience and tolerance. Making friends with such people and such friends will make us to tolerate and bear the difficulties easier in our life. And number four, we need to practice supportive exercises in the morning or at any other time of the day. And it's very recommended this hour. It's interesting, but it's very recommended in our religion to do this kind of exercises during the day or any time which is possible. And rely on Allah and believe that He is the strongest supporter for those who rely on Him. And number six, ponder over the Quranic verses and traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa sallam that discuss patience, for they have undoubtedly taught us what makes us happy. For example, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salatu wa sallam said, when Ali ibn al-Husayn, Imam Zainul Abidin, his father, was about to die, he embarrassed me and said, "Oh my son, I recommend you to what my father had recommended to me when he was about to die, and he said that his father had recommended him to. Oh, my son, be patient with the truth, even if it is bitter." We must submit to the truth and its requirements. Abu Abdullah alayhi salatu wasalam, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, has said, "Whoever keeps to the firmest handhold will be safe." And narrator of this hadith asked, "What is the firmest handhold, Yabna Rasulullah?" He said, "Submission." Someone asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, "With what is a believer known as a believer?" Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam said, "With submission to Allah and being satisfied with what he gets of pleasure and displeasure." And this is the key. Submission is the only key and the most important key of bearing difficulties throughout the life, inshallah. So I hope everyone a life adorned with submission to Allah, inshallah. Thank you for staying with us.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
If you agree with me that travel is most rewarding when it surprises, then Iran might just be the most rewarding destination on earth. By having lush, dense forests in the north, warm, sunny beaches in the south by the Persian Gulf, snowy mountains in the west, and amazingly hot deserts in the east, Iran is one of the few countries that gives the joy of experiencing four different seasons at the same time to travelers. With an area of 1.6 million square kilometers, Iran is the 18th largest country in the world and the second largest in the Middle East. Its area roughly equals the area of France, Spain, and Germany together. Iran's diverse and striking landscapes offer a wealth of breathtaking and spectacular views to discover. This week on Aperture's Iran Trotter series, Jawad Gharayi will go to Bahu Kalat in the south of Iran, where the turquoise waters meet the hot sand of the desert. Here's the first part.
The living world is filled with unparalleled beauties. Beauties represented by Mother Nature across this beautiful planet. A planet that's been the only habitat for humans since they came into being millions of years ago. The beauties of nature have forever captivated humans everywhere. Many of what humans have created over millennia were inspired by their natural environment. To many humans, the word nature conjures up images of mountains and forests, but nature has thousands of other beautiful facets, and some of those facets manifest themselves in sharp contrast to each other. One of the most beautiful faces of Mother Nature is the barren areas of land, or deserts. Many nature explorers believe that deserts and steppes are the most beautiful parts of nature, and the most beautiful parts of these parts are the sand dunes and hills. But is there anywhere in the world with expanses of shifting dry sand dunes right next to a great body of salt water named the sea? Hi, I'm Javad Gharai. I'm an Iran trotter, and I'm taking you on a journey to the most pristine areas of this beautiful land. Chile is a beautiful country with unique natural exquisiteness. A country that remarkably has vast steppes and shifting sand dunes along the coast of the Pacific Ocean, offering a natural scene of unparalleled beauty. Of course, I haven't traveled to Chile's beautiful Pacific coast. My destination is the Bahu Kalat rural district in the south of Iran's Sistan and Baluchistan province. But I'm not going straight to Bahu Kalat. I begin my trip near the border between Hormozgan and Sistan and Baluchistan provinces. There are few places in the world where sand dunes meet the sea, creating a spectacular landscape. Such coastal deserts can only be seen in parts of Chile, in the Great African Sahara, and in the Southwest African country of Namibia. Some may find it hard to believe, but in addition to those few places in the world, there is an area in southern Iran where expansive sand fields meet the Sea of Oman. A place near the village of Darak in Zaravan County. The border between Sistan and Baluchistan and Hormozgan provinces, in the southernmost area of Baluchistan on the coast of the Sea of Oman. In the past, this area of Iran was called Mukran, a name researchers say was derived from the word muk, meaning the palm tree. Given its large number of palm groves, Baluchistan can be referred to as the land of palm groves in Iran, an area with a beautiful history and peerless natural splendor. Unfortunately, the general public in Iran doesn't know much about Baluchistan. The sea, the sand dunes, and the Martian mountains, all in one place, provide an environment with no parallel in Iran and, I dare say, in the world. But the sand dunes, the Martian mountains, and the Sea of Oman aren't the only things that make this area of Balochistan unique. It's the multitudes of palm and other trees scattered along this area, as well as the many herds of camels, goats, and sheep grazing among these dunes and mountains that make for breathtaking beauty. Here, Mother Nature has made all her efforts to create some of the most beautiful coastal sceneries in the world, and she's done a great job. This is the result of millions of years of work for Mother Nature. So it's incumbent upon us and the authorities to keep these unmatched beauties just as they are, by not allowing any structures, however small, to be built here or in the surrounding area. Not even a few gazebos for tourists and explorers to use. We have to preserve this natural magnificence as it is. A geopark is a unified area that advances the protection and use of geological heritage in a sustainable way and promotes the economic well-being of the people who live in it. Geoparks are protected areas. Many countries dream of having one in its smallest and simplest shape and form. There are only a few geoparks around the world that are both geomorphologically rich and boast unique wildlife, history, culture, and indigenous populations. Countries with such wealth are few and far between. But this area of Balochistan is home to several morphological splendors. It's also inhabited by Baluch tribes of a rich culture. Their traditional lifestyle and time-honored customs, a pure, unspoiled natural environment, the preserved remains from the remote past, the golden sandy coastlines, and the deep turquoise blue waters of the Sea of Oman. The traditional fishing apparatus on boats moored at a beautiful port, and finally, very good vegetation and animal life. As I walk on beautiful sand hills, I think to myself, how are we responsible to the generations that will come into being in this country, to the natural beauties in our country? I'm spending today relishing the stunning untapped natural beauties in Zaravan and snap several beautiful pictures. The nagging question is, do we have the right to deny the children of tomorrow the opportunity to feast their eyes on such spectacular scenery? I wish no structure, no roads, nothing would be built among these ancient mountains, sand dunes, and palm groves. No hotels, no themed amusement parks to be built for human recreation on its untouched coastline. Even a few simple gazebos in the area can accelerate the destruction of this region's ecology and natural landscape. I wish all of us humans had more appreciation for the natural world, this manifestation of God Almighty's beauty, and paid it due respect. I wish all nature-loving tourists would choose to walk into the heart of nature, and by doing so prevent it any harm to it. A lot of people in the world think that if they really want to enjoy their expedition into nature, they have to spend the nights in multi-star hotels near their destinations. But that's not the right mentality. It's not in anyone's interests. Hotels that are built close to natural habitats do nothing but damage an intricate ecology that's taken millennia to be formed. There's an alternative way for explorers to both enjoy their trips into the heart of nature and for the natural world to be spared damage by humans. In other words, for humans to forge a partnership with the natural world. Local homes, campfires, and black tents, and also camping tents are the best options. All the people and officials in this area of Balochistan say they hope that in the near future, the area they live in will be registered as an important and valuable geopark by the relevant authorities living in the capital city. And by doing so, they hope the unique natural environment here and the culture and customs of the old Baloch tribes inhabiting this region will be preserved and protected. I take great pleasure walking about in this beautiful natural landscape and accompanying camel herders, but this is the end of this leg of my journey. I have to set off for my main destination, the Bahu Kalat district in the north of Balochistan. The main purpose of this trip is to visit an idyllic little village by the name of Shir Gawaz, a lush, vast, green patch of land 30 kilometers to the border with Pakistan. The name Shir Gawaz was derived from the names of two wild animals, namely the lion and the boar. The locals here tell me this area is home to wild boars, but no one has ever sighted any trace of lions here or anywhere in Iran, unless in the very distant past. Perhaps what ancient Shir Gawaz inhabitants meant by the word lion was in fact the wolf or hyena. That's because those two species have lived in this region for hundreds of years. But what has brought me to this area of Balochistan wasn't the lion or the boar. I've come here to see the Asian crocodile. Parlance, this rare species of crocodile is called the Gondo. They live somewhere between River Sarbaz, Bahu Kalat, and Shir Gawaz. The river is the biggest natural stream of water in Balochistan. It is known by different names by the locals living in villages located along its 300-kilometer course, monikers such as Sarbaz, Bahu Kalat, and Shir Gawaz. My team and I have to walk a long distance to see one of those short-nosed crocodiles. But these gorgeous, thick-skinned aquatic reptiles in Iran are said to be very shy animals, making it difficult for us to find one. What that means is you can't get too close to these amphibians and admire their beauty at close range. We have been going about gunning for a crocodile for a couple of hours now, but we haven't been able to see even one just yet. As I say, they are very shy animals. The locals tell me I'd be lucky to see one, though they also say if you wait long enough, you'll definitely be able to see at least one. Guy is around 3 meters long. The people in this area call them the Gondo. Who would have thought that you could see Gondos, the short-nosed Asian crocodiles, in a river in Iran's Sistan and Balochistan province? At their biggest, these majestic reptiles are 3.5 meters long. The primary habitats of the short-nosed Asian crocodile are in Iran, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and Myanmar. The people of Shirgwaz tell me the best place to see the gondos is the Shirgwaz Dam, a barrier built across the Shirgwaz River to impound its water. The number of crocodiles living in Iran has been estimated at between 300 and 400. The good news is the people of Sistan and Balochistan do not do anything to endanger the survival of these adorable reptiles. The bond between them is unshakable. In general, the Baluch are kind, nature-loving human beings, traits that are rooted in these noble people's culture and creed. The love of nature and of animals is part of the life and culture of the Baluch people. Animals are part of the family, among them wild animals. Probably if this were another city or country, many people would try and, man, this guy is strong. I bet if I let him go, he's definitely going to break my bones or break my camera into pieces. As I was saying, if this mountain goat were anywhere other than here, without a doubt some heartless poacher would have gunned it down by now. But the people here love animals dearly. The gondos that we saw earlier, they're conserving them so well. Also this wild goat, that's very close to the hearts of the people here. You can see many peacocks, partridges, and pheasants in the households here in Shirgwaz, and also in other villages elsewhere in Balochistan. The Shirgwaz River flows past Bahu Kalad village, providing the hard-working community here with water for their farms, fruit groves, and animals. Perhaps there are many people in Iran who are unaware that the fruits grown in Balochistan can only be farmed in tropical climates. But that's exactly what's happening in this province. All of the Iranian banana produce comes from this region. Bahu Kalad is also among the important producers of watermelons in Iran. The cold season is when the watermelons grown here are harvested and distributed across the country. I've just stepped into a fruit grove in Bahu Kalad. In my opinion, this is a veritable piece of heaven. Here, you can see several different species of fruits right next to each other. Something you may not be able to see anywhere else in Iran. Fruits such as bananas, dates, mangoes, papaya, all kinds of citrus fruits. I've also been told that even coffee is farmed in some of the gardens here. It's just wonderful. I mean, you could go so far as calling this place Little India, located in southwestern Iran.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل
منكم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
أدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى
محمد وعجل فرجه.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters, and also our respected students here, friends.
Especially not Yahya Jafari.
Yeah, especially not Yahya Jafari.
Especially
Minta. So let's go, inshallah, continue Suratul A'raf. Yes.
Yes.
Let's continue this. Oh, we didn't say A'udhu Billah and Bismillah.
Yeah, minus for you.
Minus for you.
A'udhu
Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم. ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء.
ولا تتبعوا من
أولياء.
أولياء.
Look at ولا تتبعوا. Then after واو we have what, Mahdi? After واو we have one?
Alif. Silent letter. Yeah.
A silent letter.
Tired.
Inshallah we'll talk about it. So that's why they have written a sukun sign or a circle. Okay, it means you don't read.
A hat on the top.
You don't read this. ولا تتبعوا. No. ولا تتبعوا. No. ولا تتبعوا. Right? قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ.
قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ.
Recite, practice, okay? وَكَمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا.
وَكَمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ
أَهْلَكْنَاهَا. Battery low, right? Battery low.
Sarah,
I will read separately.
And everything.
So I will read separately. Okay, I will read separately. وَكَمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ
أَهْلَكْنَاهَا
فَجَاءَهَا بَأْسُنَا
بَيَاتًا
أَوْ هُمْ قَائِلُونَ.
أَوْ هُمْ قَائِلُونَ.
أحسن. So we, it sometimes sits on alif, sits bottom of alif, sometimes sits on ya or waw, comes with waw and ya. It means the waw, alif, ya is the chair, okay?
Yes.
So, for example, here, look. Ba-suna. Alif, yes, is the chair for Hamza. Ba-suna. Next one.
Qayatan.
Aw. Aw, right? Ahsan, Mahdi. Qa-ilun.
Those are meals.
Yeah. Oh, Hadi. Ilun, okay. So that is ye, yes?
Yes.
Ye and the initial form.
Yeah, without dot.
When ya comes, remember, okay? It does not have any dot, but ya has dot.
Yeah.
So when it comes in initial form and it comes with a hamza, the dots die.
Eaten by hamza.
Okay? Removed.
Yeah, the hamza to qatl kill the dots.
Hamza to qatl. And that's good expression for this. So, next ayah.
فَمَا كَانَ
دعواهم
دعواهم
إذ جاءهم
إذ جاءهم.
No,
he said is. He
said
is.
Don't say is.
So yeah, the is will kill you in the qiyamah.
He
Qiyama.
Says, fair, I say is.
Yes, I
say. Okay.
That they will إذ kill you.
إذ جاءهم.
إذ جاءهم.
جاءهم, no. جاءهم. Okay, منهل.
جاءهم.
Yes. بأسنا
بأسنا
منهل. Hamza is pronounced like A in English. Apple. Say, you don't say apple.
Apple.
Apple. Yeah?
Apple.
What do you say? بأسنا. All right. But عين is the way that you pronounce Hamza.
Apple.
Yeah? Say عليكم.
عليكم.
Say عليكم.
عليكم.
Okay. مشهد.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
So, إلا أن قالوا
إلا أن قالوا
إنا كنا ظالمين
إنا كنا ظالمين.
هذه practice reciting, okay. فلنسألن الذين
فلنسألن الذين.
Again we have Hamza. فلنسألن, right?
Yes.
On the chair of
Yeah, but yeah. Kill the dot.
Yeah, yes. أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ
أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ
وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ
وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ.
Okay, وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ هَمْزَةُ الْقَطْعِ المرسلين.
So how do we, I can't read this. ولنس
ولنسألن.
That's correct. You said it.
ولنسألن.
Yes. ولنسألن المرسلين. So ألف لام in المرسلين is ألف لام التعريف. So and ألف لام قمري, right?
Yes.
Moonlit. Because it is used with moonlit and meme. So if you join ولنسألن to this word, you skip that Hamzatul Wasl. Yes. But if you recite it without connecting to the preface word, how do you recite this? Because it has alif lam.
Al.
You use fatha, right?
Yes.
Hadi. Al. So al. How do you say al mursalin? Now join them together.
وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ
وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ. Wait, so do we read?
Yeah.
No, you.
Once more, listen. وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ
وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ.
أحسن. فَلَنَقُصَّنَّ. It is the same as وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ.
فَلَنَقُصَّنَّ
عَلَيْهِمْ بِعِلْمٍ وَمَا كُنَّا غَائِبِينَ
وَمَا كُنَّا غَائِبِينَ.
So where it is?
Where?
So why was he not reading? Is he just... Sir, every single second I look there, they're always laughing and talking.
Ayah 7. Okay, now next ayah, look. We have so many Hamzatul Wasl and Qatl, okay? Hamzatul Qatl and Wasl. Okay, Hadi, read.
Okay, sir, 1 minute. I
should see. Ayah 8.
Eight, okay.
It has so many seconds.
Yeah.
Wa
Oh no, if it has too many seconds, I can't read it.
Wa'il. Wa'il.
Wa'il. MashaAllah.
Wa'il.
Wa'il.
Oh my gosh, what is this?
Wa'il.
What?
So many seconds.
Alif Lam, Mr. Hamzatul Wasl.
So.
Jalla al Khaliq.
Waluz.
Waluz.
Why do you say wallow? Does lam have fatha? You say low? What does lam have?
Wal.
In that tone.
Wal
is not. Wal? Somehow I can.
Sir.
You can. Take a look.
Nobody can read that.
Listen. 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 Hadi. Hadi.
Wal was no.
Yeah.
What
do you do? Hadi, look. Hadi. Identify the letters. Second step. Identify the harakat. Simple. Tell us the letters. What are the letters? What are the letters in these words?
Sir, it's hot. Wow. Moon.
Wow.
Lam.
What about the previous one?
Hamzatul Wasl. Hamzatul Wasl. Lam.
Then?
Wow. Zim.
And?
Noon.
So what does waw have, the first waw?
Fatha.
So what does alif have? Nothing. No. Lam?
Lam sakin.
Sakin. How do you read this waw and lam?
Wal.
Wal. You join them. Wal.
Wal.
Then the next waw has?
Fatha.
Fatha. How do you say it?
Wa.
Okay. Then za?
Wal wazn.
Huh? That's sakin. Then noon?
Wal waznu.
Wal waznu.
So
was it difficult, Hadi?
Yes.
I don't know. There's Iblis is there, okay, around you every time telling you cannot read.
Yes. Yes.
Walwazna. Walwaznu.
Walwaznu yawma.
Why you do not say walwazna?
Wal, sir. Because, sir.
We have?
Alhamdulillah. Qad.
Wasl.
Wasl.
That's why you skip it. If there is no waw, you say al-wazna. So read it now.
Wal-waznu.
Okay.
Wal-waznu yawma izin. Yawma izin il haq.
Okay, yawma izin il haq, mashallah.
Yawma izin.
That's correct. Izin il haq. Inshallah, we'll recite this. Because tanween, then alif lam. How do you read it, okay? Haqqu. If you have tanween kasra.
What does
tha have?
Tha
qata.
Saqalut.
Saqulat.
So faman thaqulat.
Faman thaqulat.
Next word.
Mawazinuha.
Okay, now read from the beginning.
So can I read from the beginning?
So,
no, continue, finish this ayah. Fa. Fa.
Fa.
No.
Fa'u. Fa'ulaika humul muflihun.
Okay, remember fa'ulaika, it's strong. Inshallah, we'll recite it. We'll read about silent letters, okay? Look, so waw has a silent sign.
Can I now read
you don't
the
say fa'u, fa'u.
No.
Fa'u, no. Fa'ulaika. There are six words. Inshallah, we'll talk about them, that they have waw, but you do not prolong the sound. You just say oh, not oo. All right? So. وَالْوَزْنَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ
وَالْوَزْنَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ
وَالْوَزْنَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ
وَالْوَزْنَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ
فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ
فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ
فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ
فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ.
Okay, inshallah, we'll be back after reciting a salawat. Don't forget, stay with us, okay? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Hamid Reza al-Daghi was 46 years old, father of a three-year-old girl, an engineer by career, and a former handball star. On April 28th, he had started an ordinary day as usual. At dusk, on the way home, something happened that upset his daily routine. He never arrived home to hug and kiss his little girl before bed, but instead became a household name across the country overnight. May 3rd, 2023. Tens of thousands of Iranians from all walks of life have taken part in the funeral ceremony of Hamid Reza al-Daghi to say farewell to their national hero in the northeastern city of Sabzavar. Known as the Martyr of Courage, Hamid Reza was laid to rest among other martyrs in the city cemetery. Hamid Reza grabbed the headlines as a national hero after a viral CCTV video showed him courageously defending two girls against a couple of knife-wielding thugs in Sabzavar. He was stabbed 7 times in the back and chest while trying to rescue the defenseless girls. He later succumbed to knife wounds in hospital. His death has once again rekindled the issue of ghairat, a Farsi word deeply rooted in Iranian culture. Whereas ghairat has stereotypically manifested itself in the mainstream media in the form of a jealous husband, it represents a moral value that takes courage and gallantry. A man who throws caution to the wind to save the lives of others in danger, especially if they are women, is described in Iran as a man who has ghairat. In one sense, ghairat is similar to the medieval knight's code of honor. In English culture, Walter Raleigh is a perfect example of chivalry, for what he did for the sovereign's comfort. According to a famous legend, he once laid his plush cloak over a mud puddle so that Queen Elizabeth's feet would not be dirtied.
A puddle in the way, Majesty.
A puddle.
But what catapults Hamid Reza al-Daghi above all these figures is that he sacrificed not his clothing, but his life. And it was not for his sovereign's comfort, which would have brought him wealth and fame, as was in the case of Sir Walter Raleigh, but it was for the comfort of two defenseless girls. To be chivalrous implies those principles that respect the worth and the dignity of others, that compel us to take responsibility for the care and safety of others as we remain inextricably linked in this complex web of life. Hamid Reza's ultimate sacrifice was widely respected and reflected online. His name is now trending in Twitter in Iran as the martyr of courage. During the imposed war on Iran by the Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein, hundreds of thousands of Iranians went to the front line voluntarily. Many of them, whether Muslim or non-Muslim, said their aim was to protect their national and family honor. When the city of Khorramshahr was under the boots of Ba'ath's troops, three Iranian men lost their lives before their comrades managed to bring down the body of an Iranian girl the Iraqis had put on a wooden pole. This level of sacrifice, especially when it comes to the honor of girls and women, has been handed down from generation to generation. At a time when individualism is in full swing and many are preoccupied with their personal interests, the story of Hamid Reza is a wake-up call for social values and commitments. His martyrdom has once again unified Iranian society around values rooted in centuries-old history and culture. Hamid Reza al-Daghi was not a man in uniform, yet his name will conjure up images of gallantry and chivalry for years and decades to come.
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB.